Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. Get a special good day to everybody who was out on their driveway this morning commemorating Anzac Day, or on the balcony, or standing up in the office, or wherever you were. I know everybody couldn't do it, but if you could do it, I know a lot of people in my street were doing it.
Fitting tribute, wasn't it, Anthony? Like, really nice touch. It's great to see people, even in these difficult times, prepared to pay that respect and that homage. Very special day on the calendar.
Yeah.
So real community feel about it.
Speaking of my street, is there any reason why you've got a video of Wendell Saylor driving past my house? What's going on there?
Well, it's disturbing.
Isn't it?
I wasn't going to bring this up on the airwaves, Anthony, but the Jewel International did just send a jovial video just saying that he's in the neighbourhood. He's just driving past, making sure everything's tip-top at the Little Bay compound.
What's concerning about that is Anthony lives in a dead-end street.
He's gone out of his way.
So you actually have to drive in the street to drive past the house. You're not just it's not like it's a thoroughfare where you're on your way to somewhere else.
Well, yeah. Anthony, am I right?
And it was a slow drive too.
He's a grub, isn't he?
Anthony, am I right? You did name some cats after Wendell, didn't you?
Wendell and Tara, yeah, I did, yeah. I've just got a message here from Wendell too. He goes, "Hi, mate, just dropping off some brown sugar to Miss Portugal." That doesn't sound very good. That doesn't sound very good at all. Anyway, let's talk a little bit of NRL, and we've got an absolute legend to join us on the phone right now. He's the car wash king of Queensland and the coach of Queensland State of Origin side, Kevvy Walters. Welcome to Saturday Triple M NRL Sin Bin.
Well, that was an interesting topic. Welcome to Saturday afternoons, Triple M style, hey?
Yeah.
What do you cook with brown sugar, Kev?
I would know what to do with brown sugar, Kev. I would not know. Is it go in beer? I think brown sugar goes in beer, doesn't it?
You put it on your porridge.
Yeah.
Hasn't Wendell got a lawn mowing business now that it's coronavirus?
Yeah. Oh, no, yes. Wendell doesn't work, mate.
He doesn't work, the big fella, right? Okay.
What's going on with you, Kevvy? Speaking of working, the car wash is still open?
Yeah, we're still operating, mate. Yeah, of course we are. Winston Glade's car and dog wash, certainly up there today. The boys are washing away. But now I've just been self-isolating at home with my family. It's actually been quite good. We've painted the kitchen and do a bit of exercise each day down in the makeshift gym in the garage. So, yeah, we've just, like everybody else, just trying to do the normal stuff that we do now, what we can do, and then looking forward to when life does get back to some normality, which I believe is probably just around the corner.
You're washing more cars or dogs these days?
More cars, Kenny, yeah. The dog wash has been surprisingly a real bonus for us, but, yeah, lots of cars coming through. So it's been it hasn't been affected so much by all of the, the slowing down of the community as such, but the car washes seem to be powering on, which is great.
Kevvy, there's been a confirmation now that Origin will definitely be after the season. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm just very pleased that Origin has a slot in our calendar. You know, I was waiting for the time for it to be announced, Kenny. I mean, it's a huge part, isn't it, of our rugby league calendar, and you know, this is something new and something very exciting from my point of view, to have Origin, you know, in October. That's normally a place where we see grand finals and international football being played, but State of Origin and what they're talking is, you know, three consecutive Wednesdays. Well, wow, that'll shake up every player, won't it? I mean, obviously it's going to be a lot of bash and bar through it all, but I'm sure that everyone's looking forward to when we all get back together, and then of course State of Origin to top our season off at the end of the year.
I'm sure then Origin, three back-to-back games, 10 days between games, how does that affect your preparation? Do you just stay in camp that entire period?
Yeah, well, we'd have to, wouldn't we? We'd probably have to let Langer go home for a bit of a spell from all of us, but the rest of us can stay in camp. But, you know, we have had seven-day preps in the last couple of years. You know, that second game has always been a seven-day prep, so it's not something brand new to us. But I guess, you know, with technology and the way that players recover these days, I can't see it being a problem. We'd have to draw on a squad, of course, and that would assist in many ways. I mean, imagine the experience of a younger Origin player from either camp coming in and mixing it with all those boys over a three-week period. It'd be a great experience. And at the end of the third game, they could even get an opportunity to play Origin football. So, Yeah, I can see it working, Kenny, that's for sure.
Has Alfie had a birthday lately, Kev, or...?
Well, not he was over last Friday and he tried to tell me it was his birthday, but his birthday is actually, well, it is. He has one a week, I'd reckon, but I think he's June is his birthday.
No,
June,
July 30th.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah.
But well, he's got you, Kev, if he thinks it's in June.
Exactly, boys. Yeah, but we had a drop in from Alfie last week and his wife, Janine, which was a great. You know, obviously keeping our social distance and all that, but it was good to see the young fella. He's a rugby league nut, obviously, Alfo, and this is sort of not doing his mental health too much with all, you know, the lockdown and the shut away, because he's really a people person and loves getting amongst
people. So how do you reckon he's going, Kevy? You know him better than most. How do you think little Alfie is filling in these days?
Well, he's going like the rest of us, Gordy. You just got to adapt and adjust, haven't you? You know, I mean, that's Alfie... Big part of his life was his social scene with, you know, the work that he did with the Broncos corporates and also Ladbrokes. So, I mean, he was, you know, doing a lot of work there, but obviously that's had to pull back, and he's coping okay. Like everyone, he's just had to adjust to the different situation we all find ourselves in.
Kevin, can I just ask you, I you alluded to it before, but I just wanted to try and ask you if I can get a bit more detail. So when you go into camp, and in the past you've always... You've gone into camp, played the game, broken from camp, and then you come back in a bit later. And then in that time, you as coach, you adjust according to what the result is, according to what players have been injured and what haven't.
Yep.
Now, if you say you're going to stay in camp, can you just tell me, like, I know obviously it's new, this is, you're probably going to make a little bit of it up on the run anyway because you haven't thought it all through properly yet. But just how does that actually change things? Like, to keep the players, for one, like, you know, not frustrated or bored you know, like in camp, because that'll be the best part of what 3 weeks they'll be in a camp.
Well, yeah, I'd imagine, Kenny, we would run it similar to, and I've been on a lot of Kangaroo tours and worked a lot with representative teams. So, you know, obviously post game, those first couple of days, it's all about, you know, recovery. Would it be all about recovery for the players? We'd have to probably organise some sort of activities. Otherwise, as you say, they would get a little bit bored. But certainly, you know, rest and recovery would be a huge thing, particularly with Origin and the brutality of Origin. I would imagine hitting the training field until sort of Wednesday at minimum, you know. So those first couple of days where the recovery period is vital for everyone. And then I guess leading into the game as well, it's a huge thing mentally for players. And also with Origin, a lot of work's done, you know, in the community as well, which I guess that would have to take somewhat of a backward step. And the sponsors and all of those people have to be serviced equally as well. So, yeah, it'd be a lot to juggle in 3 weeks. But, you know, well, knowing and speaking to all the players, that they're looking forward to anything that Origin can provide this year.
So if you have a 10-day camp, as you always do, and then you play a game, straight into another 10-day camp with a game, and straight into another 10-day, that's 30 days. It's almost like you almost are picking a team for a tour. So you wouldn't pick just 17 players or 18 players. You'd almost pick like a 25-man squad and just bring them all in and just say, right, you guys are here for the duration. And I imagine, you know, having toured with the Kangaroos and that, it'd be more like that rather than an Origin camp this time.
Yeah, certainly would be, Kenny. And it would also maybe allow the flexibility for those players, you know, 23, 24, 25, to be younger players that you maybe wouldn't think would get an opportunity to play State of Origin in that particular series, but it opens up an experience for them. The next best thing from playing Origin is being around the team, and that's my experience, you know, in the last 15 years around the Queensland team, is that the greatest experience you can get is hanging around those great players and seeing how they prepare, seeing what they do on their downtime, seeing how they entertain themselves before a game, you know, 5 hours before a game, 4 hours, 3 hours, so all these things become part of a player's psyche. And I remember learning so much myself as a young, because I spent a lot of time, didn't I, Gordy, on the bench for Queensland for some time. So, I remember.
Oh, mate, I still remember that day. I was sitting on the couch with the old man, and you never got on. You're standing there trying to roll around on the grass to get the jersey dirty.
Well, that was one of my traits. And there was a game in Melbourne that the game when Ricky Stewart sort of stole the game from the Maroons. That's been about 1990, and Arthur Beetson was the coach, and I didn't manage to go on the field because you're not going to pull Wally or Elf off. You know, in those days, once you're off, you're sort of off. So there's no interchange. So I'm sitting there and in the dressing room after the game, look around, everyone's starting to have a shower, and I thought, well, what do I do here? I mean, I sat there for 80 minutes and watched everyone do their stuff, and then out of the corner of my eye, I could feel his piercing eyes on me, and it was Alfie's eyes, right? And he was just waiting to see what I did. He was going to take the piss out of me either way. Whether if I had a shower, he'd say, oh, look at Stinky Walters. He didn't even play and he's having a shower. And if I didn't have a shower, look at Stinky Walters. Sat there for 80 minutes. So I decided to have a shower. And as soon as I started to peel off my kit, he was into me. He was all over me. God, it was more embarrassing than sitting there for the 8 minutes.
I would have just said, you should have just said you're getting the liniment off you. And... I'll tell you what, that's one of those no-win situations, that though, isn't it, Kevy, that you sit there and it's like Alfie's looking at you. You know, whichever way you go, you're going to get baked.
Well, exactly, mate. Never, everyone's full of mud and blood and everything all over, and I'm sitting there in my brand-new jersey. So, but it was a great experience for me. That, actually, because that happened a few times, you know, me as a coach when I was coaching other sides, and you couldn't get a player onto the field. And you felt for him. And actually, that's probably the highest level, where you sit there and watch the game. So it was a great learning experience for me. And sometimes, you know, you can't get everyone on the field, you know, when you'd like to. So, yeah, from that point of view, it was a great experience. But Alan Langer eyeballing you after the game with that cheeky smile on his face wasn't good.
Kevin, do you reckon when you get to the end of the season, it's going to be a different-looking side? Because now you're going to pick Origin. So you're going to get to the end of the season and you're going to have a four-week final system. So at the season finishes, eight teams immediately stop playing. Then you're going to get a drop-off the following week and each week. So by the time you get to the grand final, you've only got two teams who have played the week before you actually pick the side. Some players won't have played for a month. How much is that going to then factor into the side that you pick?
Yeah, well, it would affect the side more so than what we have seen in previous years, Kenny. We've seen on... again, just reflecting back on those kangaroos, some players, if they have a huge final series, they find themselves on, you know, on a kangaroo tour purely because they're in form. And I think for mine, that makes a really smart sense of those teams involved deep into the finals would be a leg in to get themselves an Origin jersey. And, you know, I believe this year that the Queensland teams will perform better. We need them to go deeper now into September and October from an Origin point of view as well, because you'd hate to think that more than half your team are sitting on the sidelines for a month while while New South Wales players are preparing themselves for grand finals and you know, the big end of season game. So that would be a big advantage to either state if they could get that sort of, across the line.
Have you been keeping in touch, Kev, with a lot of your players?
Yeah, we have, mate. Regular contact with we picked a squad of 33 players at the start of the year. So in that squad, there were some players that hadn't played any football, like Ronaldo Molitano, who hadn't played any State of Origin football, and other veterans, you know, DC and all those guys are in there as well. So it was the first time we've ever done that. I thought it was an opportune time to bring the squad together, and it worked really well. And some guys, you know, got to meet each other for the first time. And then I've been in regular contact with our players. They're all in really good headspace, I've got to say, all the guys that I've spoken to. Telling me that they, and I believe what they're saying, all their training, and they just seem like they're in a good space. And particularly, you know, the last couple of days since the 28th has been noted as this restart, you can really see them, the passion in them starting to come out, and they're ready to rock and roll, I would have thought.
It's fair to, Kevy, I think, even though they'd only just resumed and only played two games into the competition, the fact that they're able to get away and train themselves and not train in that team environment, I imagine that would have given a lot of players a chance to get over a lot of those really irritable little niggly injuries they get.
Yeah, certainly. And the smart ones, Kenny, would be doing, you know, everything they can within the rules, of course, to keep themselves fit and in good condition. Just remembering they've all come off like a 8 or 10 week pre-season, so their bodies were in terrific shape. They hadn't been bashed around that much, so. For mine, and again, speaking to the players that I've been speaking to, that, you know, they're all in tip-top condition. Some of them just maintained what they had to do, and you know, they're all obviously looking forward to the next month and then actually getting into the season. It'll be a different scenario for all of them, but you know, I think it's very exciting for mine with Origin. It look like likely in October or early November. That's brilliant for everyone.
Kevy, before you go, mate, I was listening to MG through the week on the Rush Hour. And he told a story about you getting pepper sprayed in a restaurant in France during a kangaroo tour. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's 100% true. It was myself and Johnny Cartwright, actually. We'd had a bit of a few beers, well, the whole group had, and John and I decided that we needed some more. So we went to get sort of some takeaways from, looked like a nightclub sort of thing, and we knocked on the door, and sort of no one answered, and we knocked again a bit louder, and like opened a little latch sort of door, and the guy looked at us and said, no, go. So we didn't take no for an answer, so we went again. And the next time we opened the door up, he showed us this little fire extinguisher. We said, oh, what's he going to do with that, Cardi, you know? So next thing, he's opened the door up and sprayed myself and Cardi all over our shirts and our faces. So we just bolted, you know? And the more we rubbed our eyes trying to clear them, the more we were rubbing this mace in. So, and you can imagine when we got back to the hotel, they just pissed themselves laughing at us, all the boys. And so we had to wear patches over our eyes for about 3 days, you know, because we couldn't. And MG kept leading Cardi into the different areas where he probably should have been. So, yeah, it was. You can imagine MG with a bloke with patches over his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, Kevy. Yeah. Good to catch up with you, mate.
Yeah, have a great Saturday afternoon.
Yep, good on you. Yeah, there he is, Kevy Walters, the Queensland State of Origin coach and the car wash king of Queensland. We love Kevy, and he's welcome on this show anytime. But there he goes. Hoops, Kenty, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. It's the Saturday Sin Bin. Thank you for all the feedback we are getting. Love you guys on Saturday during the COVID-19 crisis. Thank you so much to all the people who have emailed and tweeted those into us today. We do it thanks to our mates at King G. We do it thanks to our friends at Ream Hot Water, and of course Macca's, where we're just about to chow down on some nuggies and a couple of cheeseburgers as well. When we come back, our award-winning segment, I Call BS on Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And a very good afternoon as we commemorate Anzac Day right across the Triple M network, wherever you might be listening to us. So we've had a lot of feedback, a lot of calls about the interview we did earlier with Peter Volandis. Yes, we will be getting that on again for you after 2 o'clock this afternoon with Kenty, Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Another very special guest on the phone. He is the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, a former player and an all-round good guy, Clint Newton. Welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin.
G'day, how are you going?
Fantastic, mate. It's a changing landscape. Where are we at the moment with your guys?
We're in a good place. We've still got, you know, some things that we've got to step over, but again, the players are fully committed to get back to training and get back to playing as soon as possible. There's just some things that we need a bit of clarity on, but again, we're really optimistic to hit those targets.
Clint, what are some of those things, Clint?
Just, you know, as we've said all along, Gordon, just around the access to medical facilities and doctors, which again, the NRL have guaranteed, but you just need to sort of get the details amongst that and just some of the protections that are required. But again, the NRL have always committed to doing that. So we don't think that it's going to be a problem. It's just a matter of time.
Clint, if the NRL have guaranteed that and you don't think it's going to be a problem, why did you come out this week and say, well, we're not back yet, and basically poo-poo what had already been confirmed?
Now, I think, Paul, you know, one of the things that I'm not going to sort of get into is to try and, you know, bring the game down or be negative.
Well, that seemed to do that, though, when you did that, because the game was rolling a certain direction and you said, well, hang on, hold your horses.
No, I think it was more about just correcting the record for saying that those dates are absolutely what we're committed to working towards. But if some of the things that aren't in place, you know, prior to blokes starting back training, then yes, there's going to maybe have to be an adjustment. But again, we're optimistic about working through that. But no one's being obstructionist here. We're not downing tools. We're not walking away from the table. And we're still absolutely committed to doing it. And everyone's working incredibly hard to get the games back on. Players wanted to be back playing yesterday, mate. You know, so it's just a matter of continuing to work through the process. And I think we're going to be in a really good place.
Wouldn't it have been a more opportune time to just come out and say, well, you know what? I'm really happy with the game's back. May 28 sounds great, and where all systems go?
No, I think that you're probably not looking through the lens of a player. What they want to know is that, you know, that these things are going to be in place.
But you just said they've been guaranteed that, so they did know.
But that's the thing, mate. It's about making sure that we've got them down in writing and everyone's fully committed to working through it.
And if it's been guaranteed, that it is down in writing and fully committed.
But it's not down. And again, Paul, I know that you want to try and, you know, dramatise the situation.
I'm not trying to dramatise it, Clint. I'm trying to get, you're the leader of the players here. And you've got the leader of the game who's been lobbying governments. He's been sitting there meeting with broadcasters. He's been doing all these things to try and get the game up and running. And then right at the end, when the Apollo, Wayne Pearce comes out from the Apollo meeting and says, "We're coming back May 28th. The head of the players comes out and says, "Oh, well, hang on, no, not yet. We need some things in place first." And well, you're saying it's all guaranteed. So I'm just not quite following where you're at.
Yeah, again, mate, one of the things that you've got to understand is that I understand. Listen, Paul, you don't have to try and speak over the top of me when I'm actually trying to answer the question. So we've had some good discussions over the last 24 hours. And that's where we're in a much better place than we were middle of the week. So that's the latest on it. So again, we had a great meeting yesterday with Wayne Pearce and 16 of the leading players across all clubs. We had further discussions with Peter Volandis this morning. So we're in a much better place than we were midweek. So again, there's absolutely no problems here. It's just that we needed that certainty, and we're certainly working towards that.
But, Clint, can you see why people would be confused when we get Wayne Pearce coming out saying, "May 28, locked and loaded, we will be back," and then you come out 24 hours later and say, "Well, hold on a minute, not everything's in place yet"?
No, but I think where Wayne, having actually listened to the audio and speaking to Wayne, he did say that we're absolutely definitely committed to working towards those dates. You know, so, and that's where there's just then got taken out of context. And again, we're still committed to working through those dates. So, yeah, I understand that there's going to be a bit of confusion, you know, given there's a whole lot of uncertainty out there. And there's always been a lot of uncertainty out there. But I think one of the biggest things that we can hold our heads really high during this period of time is that everyone's working as hard as possible to get the games back on. And no one's working harder than the clubs, the players, and Peter and the NRL exec team, and Wayne, for that matter, who's putting a tremendous amount of effort in, you know, leading the project Apollo.
So for the record, as the boss of the Players Association, you want the game back on May 28 and everybody's working towards that?
Of course we do. And that's the thing. We've always maintained that. It was just the fact that, you know, again, everyone is working towards those dates. Everyone. And again, players are not being obstructionists in any of this. And I know sometimes that's what it looks like. But again, I think we've got to also understand that there's a level of compassion that's necessary, you know, during this period of time. And there's still some uncertain things. If we've got the Warriors that are still looking at coming over from New Zealand, there's some things that they need some assurances on before they get on the plane. And there's a commitment to do that.
What are the hurdles then?
Well, again, like I said, the fact is that where we're looking to get to, which they're being worked on over the weekend, is just some of the further protocols and some of the requirements around getting guarantees to the medical services and the providers, and along with some of the insurances that are necessary to work through it. But again, we're confident that they're going to land in the coming days, and that's why we're continuing to work through it. So again, there's been no down tools from our perspective, but again, we've just got to make sure that before the Warriors, you know, jump on a plane or start packing their bags, that they've got some of those things in place. And again, we're really optimistic to have them locked and loaded by, you know, by early next week.
One of the things the Players Association have noted has been very careful not to begin talking about is how the players will be paid, whether there'll be pay cuts in place and the rest of that. And I applaud you for not bringing that and making it a discussion. But clearly some players, and I understand, are wondering how that will work out. The NRL can't have an answer for them at the moment till the broadcast deal has been finalised and renegotiated there. So just on that, from your point of view, how much latitude is there for negotiation in those terms?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, realistically, the players, you know, over the last few weeks, Paul, they haven't been focused about player payments because they understand that there's a lot of work to be done with the major partners in the broadcasters. And again, Peter and Andrew Abdo are going to do a great job in making sure that we can commercialise the game and maximise the revenue that then goes into the game and the clubs and the players. So, yeah, I think that where we'll get is some really good estimates, you know, early in the week, and there's been a commitment to provide them. And then that can help shape some of the thinking moving forward. But again, they're some of the things that we'll just need to continue to work through. But, you know, the players are in a really good spot at the moment and they understand that it does take time, but we're looking to have them have those initial figures, you know, early next week.
Clint, can I just say, if, for example, the Peter Vellantis negotiates a new broadcast deal where the broadcasters say, well, we'll pay 80% of what we were paying and were intended to pay under a full season, and the NRL says, well, we'll pass that down to the clubs and the clubs pass that down to the players. Are you prepared to do that, or is that a negotiation in itself?
Well, again, I think one of the biggest things we've done, you know, in the last few weeks is we've actually tried to set a new standard. And I think one of the things that involves is that, you know, genuine transparency and collaboration. And so there's going to be some working groups that will work through the distribution models. And that's one of the real positives that are going to come out of this crisis, is that we're going to have to have a look at what the model is right now, and then how we might be able to adjust it to better safeguard the game's future and to ensure the club survive beyond this part, as well as the players getting remunerated that reflects their level of contribution. So again, it's just about, you know, knowing what it's going to cost to get the games back on, and particularly if it involves, you know, any type of relocation of players, you know, for an unknown period of time. There is significant cost with that, but hopefully we'll be able to get the cost down of the broadcast, given the fact that we might only be playing out of a couple of grounds, you know, for the first couple of months, potentially, in a worst-case scenario.
Clint, good to catch up with you, mate. We wish you all the best over the next couple of weeks, and thank you so much for your time on the weekend.
No, it's a pleasure, guys, and thanks very much. And it's always good to come on and, you know, answer some of the questions and work through it. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, Clint.
Good on you, Clint.
No problem.
Thanks, mate. There he is, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, doing a wonderful job too, is Clint Newton. And he's joining us there on the Saturday Sin Bin. We do it thanks to our mates at King G, because King G, comfort is king. And, of course, they are the key. Their trade is to be better, stronger, so you can work smarter. Put on the King G's. Hoops, Kenny, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Now we might lighten things up a little bit with I Call BS on Triple M.
Triple M, Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to the Saturday Sin Bin, thanks to King G, with Paul Kent, with James Triceps Hooper, with Gordon Tallis and Maroon. My friends, it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
The award-winning segment. They tried to have it shut down. They had the lawyers in. They tried to shut it down. But I said, if I call BS, go. If it goes, I go. And so that's why we're both still here.
You might want to be careful saying that.
And I'm going to kick it off today. What about when you hear an ad? I call BS on this. What about when you hear an ad and it's from a car yard or some joint that builds houses, and they say, we just want you to be part of our family. We just want to make friends. We just want you to be part of the so-and-so car company family. Well, if you want me to be part of the family, why don't you give me a car? It's such BS. I'm calling BS on that.
You're always after a new car.
No, I'm okay
you're
with it.
Always soliciting.
No, I'm not
you
soliciting.
Are always
for, no,
soliciting
I'm not
for
soliciting
freeze.
For. I
you
wasn't.
Are.
I wasn't.
That was one now, of the great.
You know the type of thing I'm talking about. Mate, what about you? I know that you've been busy this week doing triceps. Dips by the sounds of it, by the looks of it, but what are you calling BS on?
I am calling BS on a couple of things. Firstly, there's a decorated police officer, Gary Jubelin, and he was recently found guilty in the court system. And I want to call BS on the court system that found him guilty. Like, this is a bloke who's worked blood, sweat and tears trying to lock up people who are absolute grubs in society. And there's an old saying amongst the coppers, you know, sometimes you got to think like a crook to catch a crook.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gary Jubelin, for his name, for people to try and suggest that, you know, he somehow tarnished his name and his reputation is just wrong. You know, he's a bloke who, like I say, has worked damn hard to try and do the right things in life and to lock up people who are doing the wrong things. So I'm calling BS
said,
on
Hoops.
That.
Beautifully. Beautifully said.
I'm also calling BS on a couple of other things as well, Anthony.
Right.
I'm going to call BS on a couple of lightweights, and I stress lightweights, trying to suggest that Peter Vellantis somehow had blood on his hands with the axing and sacking of Todd Greenberg. You know, if the bantamweights and the flyweights and the featherweights went and actually did some research, picked the telephone up rather than just reading Twitter, they would know that Todd Greenberg's decisions over the last couple of years have increasingly led to the fact that he was moved on. And it was power brokers in clubland, extremely influential figures in the game, that drove the narrative for a hell of a long time. So, to suggest that Peter Volandis was the architect and that he was the main man, it's just ill-informed.
See, traditionally, Hoops, in our game, radio, which I've only ever worked in the radio game in my lifetime, if somebody gets rid of somebody, we call that a white ant. So,
you're the king.
That's one of your nicknames, the one we wanted.
You are the chairman.
No,
you
I'm
are
not.
It.
No, come on.
You are the Mount Rushmore of white ants.
Would you like to call BS Gordon?
Yeah, do you know what? I think with so many people that are struggling, and I was, you know, called it last week, you know, when I went through, you know, the social security line was 300 metres long. Well, I come across the news the other day that I think it was on Triple M when I was driving around in the car. In Cairns and Mount Isa and some of those places, the petrol is still 50 cents higher than everywhere else. Price gouging when it comes, when people are pretty much on their knees, right, and doing that, I don't understand why the media or, you know, what is it, consumer affairs or whatever, don't go after these people that just want to rip, you know, Aussies off.
Yeah,
it actually gets under my skin when, like, you know, when people price gouge.
Well,
it actually annoys me.
I call BS on Triple M Brisbane for not giving Gordy a talkback show because he's for the people. Gordy, that's fantastic.
Just call back in, guys. 1300.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's 1008.
1-3-3-5-3.
Oh, no, I was thinking of some other numbers.
That's why he doesn't have one.
Hey, Paul, they tried to give
you one. Platinum, if you're a platinum member.
They gave him one and it went for 6 minutes.
Yeah. Paul, would you like to call BS?
Yeah, I want to call BS on my tips.
Right. Why? Yeah. What's happening?
Because, well, look, I've just become a puntaholic since there's no other sport to watch live.
Yeah.
I find myself watching midweekers at Kembla and
Yonkers.
Oh, you know, so, yeah, sitting up at night watching the races in South Africa. So today I've had a bet in Sydney's race one third, race two second. And then I got, look, every man and his dog was tipping his horse in Gosford today, Midland. So I've had a go at it. Right? It's run second. And then I find out that one of the blokes who's also spruiking the horse, of course, is Andrew Johns. Okay? So it's not just me spruiking the horse to a few people, but there are others as well. Andrew Johns has been spruiking it to a few. But the horse that beat Midland is a horse called Eighth Immortal.
Right.
Which is part owned by Andrew Johns.
I think you'll find long-time listener, seriously. Matt from Collaroy.
Matt from Collaroy.
Who may be Andrew Johns' brother, was sitting at home and having a punt as well with his families.
He was on Midland.
And the kids. And they didn't back Eighth Immortal. They backed the other thing that Joey had tipped him. He didn't even tip it himself.
Come on. When you say Matt from Collaroy is at home with the family having a bet, what are they sitting around the radio like it's the 1950s or what's going on?
You can turn on Sky Channel.
Of course. Yeah,
you wouldn't know that because you don't have pay TV.
I should be getting it for nothing. Be getting that for nothing too. Boys, let's take a break. You've really
don't
all let
you
yourself
steal it
scout.
Off your neighbours? Don't you have one of those satellites on your right on your roof?
No, he's got one of those little, those little fire sticks.
No,
that's
I
don't.
He has too.
He just pirates.
That's absolute nonsense.
From all around the world.
Absolute. I have Netflix.
You have too.
I'm watching Gamora.
Is that the one you told me about, Maroon? You bought it down Redfern for $300.
No, I didn't plug it into TV. Listeners, as you know, this is all lies, okay?
He'll take anything for free, that bloke.
I have Netflix, Stan, have Fox.
Yeah. Whose accounts are you using for those?
All of them.
Use my own. I've got them all. Gamora on Netflix is the one you want to watch. Stan, what's you that? Got Better Call Saul. Fox League, except when you three are on. It's wonderful.
I tell you what else I call BS on. Since we sit at home now, is just sit home and just text each other videos and pictures of Barry. I'm just wondering.
Oh, yeah, Barry. Yeah.
Like, what have we become?
Who's Barry?
Who is?
I'll send you. You'll recognise him.
He's on everything, isn't he?
He has been everywhere.
One of my mates said he nearly drove off the road the other day. He was walking down, and the bloke was he's driving down the road, and the bloke was walking past with Barry on his T-shirt.
All right, take a break, boys.
Is that Big Bubba?
We'll come back, and we'll say goodbye to Paul Kent, and we will clean up some other little loose ends as well. We do it for King G. Hoops, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon, Triple M rocking the footy.
Triple M, Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it at Triple M underscore NRL. So many tweets and whatnot coming in today just saying, talking about Anzac Day. Yes, we have commemorated Anzac Day. We were all up this morning out the driveway and a few of the neighbours were around. It was a beautiful touch and a beautiful way to commemorate Anzac Day as well. All things equal, we should be back to normal next year.
Does Miss Portugal cook up an Anzac biscuit at all, Anthony?
She doesn't do an Anzac biscuit. She does a Portuguese tart.
Yeah, I've had one of her Portuguese tarts.
Which
very good.
Yeah, we have those at every... being a Portuguese girl, we have chicken and a Portuguese tart at every function. She might have a glass of rosé and then dissect everything that's wrong with me and we just move on from there.
But hey, takes you through to lunchtime.
It sort of does, yeah, yeah. 133353, we've got a caller on the line. Is that for us, guys? Okay, it's Rick from Little Bay, my neck of the woods. Let's get him on. Hello, Rick.
Hello, champion. How are you?
Ah, hello, Rick. This is my next-door neighbour.
Yeah, I just thought I'd call in, Anthony, just on the back of the conversation you lads were just having about your subscriptions to Netflix and Foxtel and all that.
Yes.
So I'm glad you raised that, lads, because lately I've been getting a lot of bills from Telstra. I keep finding there's some programs and films that I'm trying to explain to my missus that I wasn't actually watching.
Well,
he's
mate,
got you, the Waterloo Whiteout, Rick. He's got you.
Yeah, the Waterloo Whiteout. He's got the old Maroubra Lions, so he's got me covered.
Mate, you're the only bloke that spends more time at home than me, so I reckon you'd be watching a fair bit of... you got any recommendations for Fox?
Well, I was going to ask you, mate, because you're on every network that I'm on, bloody Netflix and Stan, and I've got Amazon Prime now too, mate, if you want to tap in on that as well.
I will, mate, I'll get your code. Thanks for calling in, nice to know you're listening.
Yeah, champion.
See you later, Rick. There he is, my next-door neighbour. He's a good neighbour. We've been neighbours for many, many years.
We should have asked him how many times you've seen you out digging in the backyard and burying your cans.
He only sees me when I go out in my undies to feed the cats. But that's okay. It's nothing he hasn't seen before. Before you go, Paul, we wanted to talk about your article today.
Yep.
Somebody has taken my notes on it. Oh, here we are. Hang on. Sorry, the producer's just taken. Thanks, Chicka. That's our producer, Chicka. He's off. Last Saturday, he was on his deathbed. We had to go around there and read him his last rites, and this week he's made a miracle recovery.
It must have been the Vesa you rubbed in his chest.
Hey?
Oh, you're weird.
Oh, God help us. I tell you what, next mob that offer me a job, I'm going. I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, it means you'll be here for a while. We can't get rid of you, mate. You're like a bad coin.
All right, your article today in the telly, Paul Kent. Players, time to stand up. Now, on the back of, you just had a good chat there with a stimulating debate with Clint Newton, the CEO of the RLPA. Just to paraphrase what you've got in here, the game was moving as one this week with a May 28 resumption stamped when Clint Newton questioned why others involved in the Apollo meetings claimed they were set to resume. We have to have a level of protection. This is what Clint
said. You're barely literate. Listen to you. Hey, no, look, the point is this.
Yeah,
right?
Go.
Because you're killing me. My point is...
Mate, you could go now, I reckon.
My point is this. I totally understand what Clint Newton was saying. But I think we are in highly unusual times. Mm. The game is fighting on many fronts to try and get back going again. And just as there was some momentum coming, he came out and said that. And I thought it was a conversation that could have been held in private.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay? And I think that it's time for the game to present a united front. And Brad Fittler came on this show last week and said how if he was coaching in 5 or 10 years' time, he'd be saying to his players, look, back in 2020, this is the sacrifice these guys made.
Mm.
And that's what he'd be selling if he was in the clubs now. And I think this is a real opportunity for the players to say to the fans, we love the game. We understand everyone's suffering. And we're going to come back. We're going to reward the fight to get back on the field by coming back without dramas and getting on and putting on some good footy. Mm. And it's a feel-good moment for the game. It's a real opportunity for that.
So you have no trouble with what – you have no issue with what Clint –
I got no, not with what he actually
how he went about
he
it.
Said. I just think it was a like, look, in normal circumstances, I've got no problem with him coming out and saying it either. But I just think that where we are now, and given how hard that the NRL's had to lobby government, we've got Anastasia Palaszczuk coming out saying, well, rugby league hasn't spoken to me. And she's basically threatened to put the borders up to stop the Queensland teams, you know, being able to move and participate. So we've got all this to fight against. So the game, when we are, this is just such a minor issue within the game. Like, of course, he said that. They've guaranteed all these precautions are going to be in place. It's such a minor issue. Don't even mention it publicly. Come out and be a leader. Present a united front and get the players on board and make people think fondly of the players. Don't present the players as an obstacle to the game getting back up.
Mm.
Present the players as united and intent on getting the competition up and running, and they're going to come out, they're going to put a good show on for everybody, and we're all going to sit back and say, thank God the footy's back.
It's a bit like friendly fire, Anthony. Mm. Like Clint sits on Project Apollo, and the RLPA is actually paid for by the players in the NRL.
Mm.
And so, therefore, as Kenty just alluded to, I reckon it was a conversation that would have been best served had in private, and I think Clint essentially said that.
Yeah.
Virtually confirmed that today as well.
It is, though, like, and I think, obviously, Peter Volandis and his guys have done an outstanding job to get us where we are, leading the globe in sport against COVID-19. But there are a couple of occasions where other key stakeholders have said, and you just said it yourself there, Paul, the Premier of Queensland, where they've said, no one's sort of negotiated with me. No one's told me.
They've spoken to the Queensland government. And where the game is at right now, they don't need the Queensland government because they're talking about getting the Queen, at present, given the restrictions she's got in place, they're talking about the Queensland teams relocating to New South Wales. So it's irrelevant. But they've informed her that just hasn't, they've informed her government, not her personally, they've informed her government, it just hasn't been passed from whoever got it in government to the Premier. Mm. But if she maintains her current status, which she's threatening to do, it's irrelevant because they'll say to the Queensland clubs, you relocate to Sydney and play out of there. So that just takes Queensland out of the occasion. Mm.
She's been backflipping and triple piking and pirouetting like
Nadia Comaneci. Well, she did that when she made that blue with Origin. She came out and she said, oh, well, you know, they won't be playing Origin in Queensland, which she shouldn't have said, right, because it was a naive thing to say. So much could change by the time that she had no idea when Origin was even going to be on. Mm. It's now on, won't be on now till October, November. But she said that. And then when somebody said, oh, well, that means 3 games in New South Wales because the NRL's still intent on playing it. She said, oh, no, well, I can't play Origin at all if it's not in Queensland. Mm. Well, hang on. No, now you're scrambling. Oh, you're better off just saying nothing. Yeah.
But this is the thing. This is another thing is that we're making – look how far we've come just in, say, 5 or 6 weeks.
Yes.
And we're not going to make decisions that are – what's the world going to be like in 5 or 6 months? Maybe it's all back to normal.
Gordy, Anthony, this is the thing, right? The COVID-19 crisis reached its peak in Australia roughly March 23. That was when the infection rate was at its highest and all the rest of it. That's just a month ago. We're still more than a month from the first NRL game. So look, in that month since it reached its peak, we've brought the infection rate down to less than 1%. It's less than 0.5% now. It was at 23% at the time. And every night we see on the news X amount of more cases. We've had, and there's been, the latest figure this week was there's been 6,000, over 6,000 people who have contracted the virus in Australia. What they don't really add to it is the fact that 4,000 of those have now recovered from the virus.
Mm. Yeah, you never hear.
Well, that's the truth. They are the facts of it. Mm. So there's a lot of, as Peter Vellante said earlier in the show, there's a lot of scaremongering going on at the moment. And a lot of people who have got their mind made up about certain things are essentially just continuing to push that line and just conveniently ignoring some of the facts that discredit their arguments. But they are the facts. There's over 6,000 cases, but more than 4,000 of those have since recovered from the virus. Mm. We've flattened the curve, which was the big thing we needed to do. We're at the infection rate's now less than 1%. So the game in another month could be anywhere. Yeah, look, we're never going to be past this until we have a vaccine for it, which they say won't come until next year. But the game can certainly go ahead and continue playing.
Paul, it's because good people like you are practicing social distancing and doing the right thing.
Well, I don't even have to practice. It's the way I live, Anthony.
No one wants to go near you, mate. Hey?
Nothing's changed in my world.
You've been practicing social distancing since 1982.
Exactly, Anthony.
Mate, it's always a pleasure to work with you. We'll see you on Fox League this week.
Pleasure.
When are you on next, by the way?
This afternoon. About an hour.
Is Fox League like Triple M? You just come to work if you want. If you don't want, just swap with someone, or they're a bit more strict there?
No.
I don't mean you personally.
We get rostered on. So
You get a roster, Anthony.
Get a roster. Anthony, that might explain a few things with you right there.
So you just come to work when you feel
like it. No, what all the superstars do, if they don't want to come, they just swap with each other.
Really?
If Wendell's got a tournament in New Zealand, no dramas. If Gordy's got a lunch in Townsville or some sort of a B-grade footy comp named after him, he goes up to Townsville.
Take that.
You know what I mean? If your kid's got
a christening. Hey, Anthony, mate, there's over 1,000 kids. Away. Mate, 1,000 kids. Playing rugby league. Our show's rugby league.
Mate, don't take it personally. I was just using you.
I will take it personally when you're talking about
me. Mate, you're in Brisbane now, so when you want to confront me face to face.
That Camaro of yours, mate. That Camaro of yours. I'm starting it up. Driving it very fast.
Gordon, when you are here, when you have the ticker, Gordon, to come down from Brisbane and face to face, we'll discuss it. Paul, we'll catch you on Fox League, buddy.
Look forward to it. See you guys.
And we're going to replay the interview with Peter Vellante's 2 after 2 o'clock this afternoon. Hoops will hang around. Gordy will hang around. I'll hang around. We'll talk more NRL. For King G, Triple M rocks the footy.